Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
L-E-G-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hey, hey, hey. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
22-117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. Can I have counsel identify themselves for the record?
I'm Lally for the Commonwealth. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Lally.
Good morning, Your Honor. Laura McLaughlin for the
Good
Commonwealth.
Good morning, Ms. McLaughlin.
Good morning, Your Honor. Alan Jackson for Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning, Your Honor. Elizabeth Little, also on behalf of Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Ms. Little.
Good morning, Your Honor. David Yannetti for Karen Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Yannetti. Good morning, Ms. Reed. Good morning, jurors. I have to ask you those same three questions. Was everyone able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, even inadvertently, since we met yesterday?
No.
Okay, so I am going to see counsel at sidebar for just a moment. Most people said no. I will see the juror who raised her hand in just a minute. Jurors are fine, and set to begin. So, Mr. Lally, your next witness, please.
Yes, Your Honor, the Commonwealth will call Mr. Christopher Albert to the stand. Okay.
So the evidence given to the court during the case down here, and you give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anytime you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the jury?
It's Christopher Albert, A-L-B-E-R-T.
And where do you live, sir?
I live at 22 Maple Street, Unit L, Canton, Mass.
And how long have you lived there?
Almost 2 years. Sorry, go ahead.
And how long have you lived in Kent?
Since 1974.
And so pretty much your whole life?
Pretty much since I was four.
And prior to living in Maple, where did you live in Canton before that?
Seven Meadows Ave in Canton.
And how long did you live at Seven Meadows?
From 2001 to 2021, about 20 years.
And who, if anyone, do you live with now?
I live with my wife, Julie, my oldest son, who just came home from the Navy, my middle son, Colin, and my youngest son, Dylan.
And how long have you and your wife, Julie, been married?
Roughly, gosh, you're going to kill me, 21 years, around 21 years.
You mentioned you and your wife, Julie, you have three sons?
Yep.
And how old are they?
My oldest is 25, my middle is 20, and my youngest is 16.
Now, do you work, sir?
Yes, I do.
What do you do for work?
I'm self-employed. I own a small pizza shop.
What's the name of the pizza?
It's called D&E Pizza.
And how long have you owned that?
25 years this March.
And prior to that, did you work sort of in the same industry?
Same industry, pretty much my whole life.
And does your wife work?
She does not.
Does she help out with the D&E pizza shop?
She does some of this behind-the-scenes stuff, yes.
Now, when you lived on Meadows Avenue, did you have occasion to become familiar with someone named John O'Keefe?
Yes, I did.
And how is it that you knew John O'Keefe?
So he bought the One Meadows Ave, the top house, I don't know exactly, maybe like 2017. So he became my neighbor. And I guess just from me driving by his house and coming home, I saw him, would wave to him and stuff. And that's how I initially became to know who John was.
And you mentioned he bought the house at sort of the top of the street, is that correct?
Yeah, it's the very, if you're coming off Pleasant, you take a right down Meadows, it's the first on the right.
And then on Meadows Ave, about how many houses are on Meadows?
Well, between us or all on the whole street, you mean?
First down the whole street and then between.
Yeah, so roughly on that whole street, I would say there's like close to 30 houses from top to bottom on both sides.
And then how about in between 1 and 7?
So there's two. There's two houses between mine and John's.
And your houses, both odd numbers, are they on the same side?
Same side, yeah.
Now, you said that that's how you initially came to know John O'Keefe. How did your relationship sort of go on from there?
So over the years, like, he was friendly with some other folks that I was friends with. So we maybe be out occasionally and bump into him, but he would also come to my pizza shop a lot. He would take his nephew, Patrick, in my pizza shop a lot. So it was not uncommon for him to stop by a couple days a week. Usually just grab a slice.
Now, you grew up in Canton, correct?
Yes.
And do you have any siblings?
I do. I have six.
And what are the names of your six siblings?
So my oldest is my older brother, Brian. I have a sister, Kathleen. I have a young, she's older than me. And then I'm next in line. And then I have a brother, Kevin. Then a brother, Keith, Brendan, and Timmy. Seven O's.
Where is it that you sort of fit in that sort of?
I'm the third oldest.
Now, your older brother, Brian, what does he do for work?
He's a Boston police officer, or he was. He's recently retired.
And your brother, Kevin, what does he do?
He's a Canton police officer.
And John O'Keefe, were you familiar with what he did for?
Yes. Yeah, I knew he was a Boston police officer as well.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to January 28th, 2022. Do you recall that day?
Yes, I do.
And do you recall what day of the week that was?
It was a Friday, I believe.
And were you working at the D&E pizza shop on that day?
I was.
And at some point in time in the afternoon, who, if anyone of note, sort of came into D&E?
John came in that day with his nephew, Patrick.
And you recall, what did they get that day?
I think they just got two slices of pizza, if I recall correctly.
And what, if any, conversation did you have with Mr. O'Keefe as far as plans for later in the year?
So he asked me if I had any plans that night, and I said, unfortunately, it's Friday, and I'm working pretty much till close. And I said, but it's my nephew's birthday, and I know a bunch of people are heading out, and I was planning on meeting up with them later when I got out of work. So I think I said to him, I'll shoot you a text later. If you're around, maybe we can hook up.
So in that sense, sort of, how would you describe your relationship with Mr. O'Keefe?
Oh, it was a good relationship, yeah.
Would you consider yourself friends?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, pushing forward on January 28th, about what time was it, if you know, that you sort of closed up shop that night?
So the shop stays open until 10. I know that I left sometime a little bit before 10. I had my wife drop me off some clothes in the, it was like a ritual. She would, because I, those nights are tough for me to get out early and go home. So she dropped me off some clothes, and I remember just changing quick, washing up a little bit, and then leaving. So I think I left before the store actually closed a few minutes.
Now, during the time or prior to you leaving the pizza shop, what, if any, conversation via text did you have with Mr. O'Keefe?
He asked where I was. I said I was still working, and he said something like, why don't you talk to the boss, see if you can get out of there? And I just said, I'm married to this place. It's tough. I'll text you when I leave. And then I shot him a text, I think, when I got down to Waterfall. And I said, where are you? And go ahead.
Sorry. And where did he say that he was?
He was at CF McCarthy's.
Are you familiar with both of those establishments as far as CF McCarthy's and Waterfall?
Yes, I am.
And with regard to your pizza shop, where is C.F. McCarthy's relation to that, and where is Waterfall relation to that?
So if I was sitting at my front door looking out, C.F. McCarthy's would be to my right, and Waterfall would be down the street, diagonal, maybe like 200 yards on the opposite side of the street.
So both sort of walking distance from where you were?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, your home on Maple, where is that in relation to those businesses on Washington Street, including your own?
So Maple Street is like probably from my pizza shop is maybe like a 5-minute walk. You know, it's not far, and a little closer to Waterfall. So maybe it's like a 7-minute walk from D&E and like a 5-minute walk from Waterfall.
And are there any sort of, in the area where you live, is there any sort of like town buildings or anything like that?
Yeah, so I kind of live behind the library. Like you take a left on Maple and the library is like two buildings after me on the left-hand side. And then the town hall is a little further down on the right.
And the library that's around where you live, is that the only public library?
That's the, besides what's inside schools, yeah, that's the only public library.
And so, again, I'm sorry, but what time is it that you leave D&E to go to work?
Just before 10. Maybe like 9:50-ish.
And as far as meeting up with people, who is it that directs you to go to Waterfall specifically?
I think my wife said, are you coming down? Are you there? She was down there. So I had a conversation with her. And I think that's how I headed down there.
You went there to meet your wife, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, she was down there.
And you've been to the Waterfall before?
Yes.
And so when you walk into the Waterfall, where did you go as far as, if anyone did you recognize when you came?
So it's pretty much when you walk in, it's just kind of like open. And my wife was there. Matt McCabe was there. Jim McCabe was there. My sister-in-law, Nicole, was there. My niece, Caitlin, was there. I think when I first walked in, that's who was there.
And you mentioned Jennifer and Matthew McCabe, is that right?
Yeah.
And how do you know them?
I grew up with, I didn't grow up with Jen. She's younger than me, but she's lived in Canton for a long time. She's my brother Brian is married to her sister, Nicole. So I've known her pretty much my whole life.
And you were testifying earlier about some of the people that you and Mr. O'Keefe sort of knew in common. Would Mrs. McKay be one of those people?
Yes, yeah.
And when you walk in, relative to the establishment, whereabouts were those people situated?
So they were on like a table that was close to the bar. It's like set up. They have like three tables in a row, and they were, I think we were the maybe either in the middle or the next table to the bar.
So with those three sort of tables together, if you know, about how long a table are we talking about?
I would say they're about a 6-foot table.
And was this a low top, high top, or something?
It's like a high top.
And located close to the bar, is that correct?
Yes.
What, if anything, do you recall from that evening as far as entertainment within the waterfall?
There was a live band that was playing to the side.
About how close to your table was the live band?
Oh, within like 6 or 7 feet, probably.
Fair to say, pretty loud in there?
Pretty loud, yeah.
And when you walk in, where do you go in reference to sort of the other people that's there?
I go right over to the table, and I think I walked right over, said hello to them, sat down.
And what, if anything, did you order when you got there?
I ordered a beer.
And did you eat while you were there as well?
I did, yeah. I was starving. I didn't eat all day, so I ordered some food, appetizers.
And throughout the course of the evening, what is it? You're at a bar, so you're drinking, correct?
Sure.
And what were you drinking?
Miller Lite.
Is that sort of normally what you would drink when you go out?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that initially when you get there, it's yourself, your brother Brian, his wife, the McCabes, and your niece, Caitlin. Is that correct?
No, my brother Brian wasn't there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Jen McCabe, Matt McCabe, my wife, Caitlin, and Nicole.
Thank you for correcting.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry.
So at some point shortly after that, or at some point, who, if anyone else, arrives and sort of joins your table, your group?
So my brother Brian and a gentleman named Brian Higgins, they came and joined us.
And is Brian Higgins, is that someone that you had met previously?
Yeah, a few times.
And how did you know him?
I don't know how I initially met him, but just seen him around. I knew that he worked as an ATF agent. I knew that he worked inside the Canton Police Department, so I think I knew him from that, just being around.
Fair to say you knew him sort of through your brothers, either Brian or Kevin or both?
Yeah, that's the only way I met him.
And about how long after you arrived was it that they arrived?
I would probably within like 35 minutes, roughly.
And what, if anything, did you know about sort of where they had been prior to or what they had been doing earlier?
So they were in New York at a police officer's funeral. They went there for the ceremony, and the snowstorm was coming, so they decided that they were going to drive back early to beat the storm.
You mentioned, as far as going out on that particular evening, what was that in reference to?
So my nephew, Brian, it was his birthday.
And so when you say your nephew, Brian, whose son is that?
So that's my older brother, Brian's son, Brian.
So Brian Jr.
Brian Jr., yeah, we call him Brian Jr. Yeah.
And was he present at the waterfall that night?
He wasn't, no. He decided that he didn't want to go out.
And when your brother, your older brother Brian and Mr. Higgins come in, where is it that they go sort of in relation to the group?
So they walk in and they come directly over to the table.
Now, at some point later in the evening, who, if anyone else, also joins your group or your table?
So John O'Keefe came with Karen Reed.
And how did you know Karen Reed at that time?
I met her a couple times. She also had been in the pizza shop a couple times, and driving by the street when I would come home, she would be outside One Meadows.
And just to be clear, when we're speaking about Miss Reed, do you see her in the courtroom today?
Yes, I do.
Could you just identify as to where she's seated?
She's sitting right over there between the two attorneys.
Just ask the record to reflect identification of the defendant.
Okay.
Now, prior to Mr. O'Keefe coming into the waterfall, you had mentioned some text communications with him, is that correct?
Yes.
And what, if any, other communications did you have with Mr. O'Keefe before he got there?
Nothing before I got to the waterfall?
Not before you got to the waterfall, before Mr. O'Keefe got to the waterfall.
With Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
Just that where was he, or where were we going? Where was he going to be?
What, if any, communication do you recall in regard to who was there or who was going to be there?
With Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think at some point he said, who's there? And I said, my brother Brian. I said, Brian. And he said, your brother Brian? I said, yeah, Brian and Brian Higgins are there. And he said, where's your brother Kevin? And I said, I have no clue. LOL or something.
And when Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed come into the bar, where is it that they go upon coming in?
They walked directly in, came towards our table, just to strike up conversation. I think John came over to my wife and said hello to her first, maybe. And then just kind of got with the group and started talking.
Now, fair to say Mr. O'Keefe knew your wife, Julie, as well?
Yes.
And how would you describe their relationship as far as you?
Good relationship.
And when Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant come over to the area where you and your wife is, what, if anything, did you observe the defendant to do?
Well, when they came over, I think they started talking. At one point, when they first came over, the defendant came in with a glass underneath her jacket. And I thought that was kind of funny, and I laughed about it and made a comment about it.
And what, if anything, did you notice sort of about the glass, what was in the glass, anything like that?
It was just a tall, like, cylinder glass with some clear liquid in it and a lime.
And that was under her coat when she came
in? Yeah, it was like she pulled it out.
Now, if you know, about what time was it that Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed came in?
So I got there close to 10, I would say 10:45-ish, to the best of my recollection.
And following sort of the hellos and all that kind of stuff, as far as after they first came in, where did they go from there?
I think the defendant sat down, and I think John went to the bar and got a beer.
And you know, is that sort of what John would typically drink?
Yeah, Bud Light, I think.
And you mentioned that the defendant sat down. Where does she sit down in relation to you and your wife?
I think right next to, not I think, next to my wife.
Now, with regard to just the, how would you describe sort of the general sort of tone or demeanor within the group at the waterfall that night?
It was fine. Everyone was just having a good time.
So no arguments, anything like
that? No, not at all.
And specifically between Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant, what, if anything, did you observe between them?
I didn't notice anything abnormal.
Now, if you recall, what was Mr. O'Keefe wearing on that evening?
Blue jeans, baseball hat, and kind of like a pullover light sweatshirt type of grayish garment. I don't know what you would call it. It wasn't like a hoodie, and it's like a long sleeve shirt.
Is that what he was wearing when he walked in?
Yes.
And at any point in time, did you see him with like a jacket or anything like that?
No.
Now, as far as your observations of Mr. O'Keefe, what, if anything, did you observe about that clothing as far as any tears or any dishevelment of it at all?
No, I didn't notice anything. It looked fine to me.
And as far as Mr. O'Keefe, his person himself, what, if anything, did you observe as far as any injuries or anything like that?
Didn't see anything. Looked normal.
Now, after Mr. O'Keefe went to the bar and got a beer, do you know where he went from there?
Just came back over to the table, started chatting people up.
And when you say the table, was that sort of your area or was there a different area?
No, the same table, the same high top. Some people are sitting, some people are standing.
And as far as sort of this length that you've described, about 6 feet or so of that table, if you recall, sort of where were people situated around the table?
I mean, I was sitting at one point because I was eating, so I was sitting in one seat. My wife was sitting in another seat. Matt and Jen was sitting in another seat. I recall John standing a lot. I don't think he sat at all. I think Karen was sitting at one point, probably like situated near, maybe across from my wife or next to my wife.
Now, as far as Mr. O'Keefe was concerned, do you recall anything specific that you discussed or talked about while you were there that night?
No, nothing in particular.
And throughout sort of the course of the time that you were there, what, if any, discussion was there as to going someplace or wanting to go someplace after the waterfall?
So we have this like little ritual that when one of my nieces or nephews turn 21, we go back to the pizza shop, like, you know, after hours and turn on the oven and make pizzas and stuff. And there was talk about going back there. Miss Reed asked if we could go back and make pizzas up at my pizza shop a couple times. And then there was some talk about maybe after, someone mentioned going back to my brother's house after.
And just to be clear, your brother's house, which brother?
My brother Brian.
And where did your brother Brian live at?
34 Fairview.
You familiar with that address?
Yeah, I used to live there, grew up there.
So prior to it being your brother Brian's house, was that your parents' house?
My parents' house, yeah.
So that's where you and your siblings essentially grew up from the time that you moved to Canton?
Yes.
Now, as far as going over to your pizza shop to make pizzas, things like that, is that something that the defendant talked about once or more than once?
A few times.
And you referenced sort of this ritual when one of your nieces or nephews turned 21, and it was your nephew Brian Jr.'s birthday the following day, is that correct?
Yeah.
Was he turning 21 at that point?
I think so. I can't remember exactly if he was 20 or 21. I think he was turning 21, though.
So in relation to this evening of January 28th, that sort of ritual that you were talking about, when was the last time before January 28th that you had done that, if you know?
Trying to see who else turned 21. Can't remember exactly. I know it was recent. I remember doing it. I just can't remember the date.
And that's all I'm really asking, sir.
Yeah.
Was it recent to January 28th?
Yeah, it was sometime before that, but within like a couple of months, I think someone turned 21. Maybe we just went there.
And so what, if any, conversation from your end as far as, obviously it's your pizza shop, so yeah. What, if any, conversation from your end was there in reference to doing that?
To doing that night. So we were doing a weight loss competition, me, Matt McCabe, and my brother Brian, and we had like 2 more weeks left in it, and we do it, every year it's like a charity, we do it, and the proceeds go to like scholarship funds. So I said no because we were doing this weight loss challenge, and I just didn't want to give in and, you know, eat pizza 2 weeks before we were weighing in.
And your wife, Julie, how long was she at the bar for?
Not long when I got there. She probably was only there for maybe 35, 40 minutes. She had a migraine. She wanted to go home, so she left.
So she indicated she had a migraine and she was going home?
Yeah, she didn't feel well.
And was that before or after Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed arrived?
She left after they arrived. So then she must have left later than that. Yeah.
Now, later on in the evening, what, if anything, did you buy for the group?
So at one point towards the end of the night, I bought a round of fireball shots for the group.
And who partook in that, if you know?
I don't remember exactly. Probably half of the people there took them. I don't remember everyone. I wasn't paying attention.
And when you say it's sort of towards the end of the night, when was it that things sort of wrapped up at the water?
I think they call last call right before 12. I pretty much right before 12, it all started wrapping up.
And as far as the group that you were with at the high top table, who, if anyone, from that group left first?
So my wife left first. Obviously, she didn't feel well. She left earlier. Then Brian and Brian left. My sister-in-law left. Matt and Jen left. I left probably second to last. I probably left last with John and Karen, or right around the time that John and Karen left.
And do you recall, as far as you're leaving around the same time, do you recall walking out together or seeing them outside, or where is it that you recall sort of you leaving at the same time?
My best recollection is I walked out roughly the same time, and I walked out the building, and I come up Washington to the right, and they were either shortly after or shortly before me, and they walk up to the left.
And when you say walk up Washington, did you walk home that night?
Yeah, I walked home.
And when you came out of the bar, what, if anything, did you notice sort of about the weather or what was going on at that
point? It just started snowing. It was cold out, and it just started snowing. The ground had like a light coat.
Could you still sort of see the street?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you could still see it.
And you mentioned you walked out towards Washington, and Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed did as well?
Yes.
And which direction? Did you go in the same direction, different direction?
When you come out the building, you have to go to the left in order to get onto Washington. So I come out to the left and then go to the right onto Washington, and they would go to the left on Washington.
Maybe sort of walking
opposite directions.
On Washington.
Yes.
Now, as far as throughout sort of the course of the evening, did you have occasion to see sort of what Mr. O'Keefe mentioned, that he went to the bar and he got a beer? Was that the only beer that you saw him having, or did he have more than one?
I'm sure he had more than one. Yeah, I saw him with more than one.
So you saw him, but essentially what I'm asking is, throughout the course of the evening, when you saw him drinking, other than maybe the fireball shot, you saw him just drinking beer?
Just beer, yeah.
And as far as Ms. Reed was concerned, what, if anything, did you observe her drinking?
Just a clear liquid in a glass. I assume it was some sort of vodka drink.
Was that the same glass that she had come into the establishment with under her coat, or was it a different glass later on?
I believe it was the same one.
So you leave from the waterfall and you're walking home, is that right?
Correct.
Fair to say you didn't go to 34 Fairview that
night? I did not.
And about what time was it that you got home?
Sometime between, I'd say, 5 past and 10 past 12, somewhere in that window.
And was your wife home at that point?
She was.
And as far as your children were concerned, how many of your three sons were living with you at that time?
At that time, two. My 16-year-old, well, he wasn't 16 years old at the time, but my 16-year-old and my 20-year-old.
And so 16 and 20 now, is that?
16 and 20 now, so that'd be like 14 and 18 then, I guess.
And so your oldest son?
He was in San Diego in the Navy.
Okay. And if you know, or did you check or anything as far as your kids when you got home, were they there, if you know?
No, I ran right upstairs. I was freezing. I went right into my room.
Essentially, you went to bed, is that correct?
Correct.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask to publish for the jury just a small portion from what's been marked as Exhibit 53, the waterfall surveillance.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have from Channel 3, the second video now. Could just pause there for a moment, Mr. Mr. Albert, looking up at the screen, do you recognize generally what's depicted up on the screen?
Yeah, so those are the tables that I was speaking of that are like, there's like two or three in a row. Yep.
I'm sorry, may I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I don't have any.
My apologies, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Oh.
So, sir, what I'm handing to you is a laser pointer. Basically, just click that button and point it up.
Okay.
Mr. Albert, using that laser pointer that I've just handed to you, if you could direct the jury's attention to about where the high top is and then about where you were seated at that high top.
So here's the high top. And I can't really see myself, to be honest with you, this far away. But somewhere, I think I ate on this side here.
And as far as the bar is concerned, where would that be?
Back here. Wait. So this is from walking into the waterfall. Okay, so the bar is after. So that's the high top next to the bar. The bar's back there.
And as far as the band that you were talking about that was playing, if you could direct the jury's attention where that was.
On this side over here. It's kind of fuzzy, but that side.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could ask you to fast forward to 10:54. I would ask if you could play that from 10:54 to about 10:56. Right. I'm sorry, if you could just pause briefly, Ms. Gilman.
Send professional invoices can get made faster.
Now, Mr. Alba, looking up at the screen, as far as the door that you came out and the door that you eventually exited from the waterfall, do you see sort of that general area and where that is in the video?
No, because I think it's offline here. I think it would be over here.
So it would be off sort of towards the left? Is that
correct? Yeah, like down this way.
Ms. Gilman, if you could press forward. As far as two individuals sort of walking in, do you recognize who those individuals are?
I do. That's John O'Keefe and Ms. Reed.
And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could just run it through 10:56. Thank you, Ms. Gilman. You can now take that down. Now, Mr. Albert, as far as your son, Colin, do you know sort of where he was that night?
Yes. So he was at my brother Brian's house for my nephew's birthday.
And he came home sometime after you, is that correct?
Correct.
And essentially you came in, went to bed, so do you know what time your son came home that night?
Objection. I know.
Do you know, just answer yes or no, whether you know.
Yes.
And how do you know that, sir?
Because he opened the bedroom door and said, "Good night, guys, I love you, I'm home."
And about how long after you got home was it that your son came home?
I'd say within 10 minutes.
And as far as sort of coming into your room, is that something that was required of your kids when they came home?
He would always do that, yeah. That was something just to let us know that they were home.
Now, turning your attention to the next day on the 29th, about, obviously, at some point you woke up. Do you recall about what time that was?
Eight-ish, 8:30-ish.
So sometime between 8 and 8:30?
Yeah. I was still in bed. I woke up, but I didn't leave my room.
And what was it that, or who was it that woke you up that morning?
At that time, I just woke up on my own.
And when you woke up, what happened after you woke up?
Shortly after I woke up, my wife entered the room, but that was a little bit later. I don't know exactly what time. And she informed me that something had happened to John.
And what was it that she told you?
I don't know the exact words that she said, but basically that John had died.
And what, if anything, did she indicate to you as to where John had died?
That he was found somewhere on the front lawn of 34 Fairview.
And following receiving that information, where did you go, or where did you and your wife?
I was in shock. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And then I jumped up, and she's like, let's go over to your brother's house.
And about what time was it, if you know, that you got over to your brother's house?
Sometime approximately like after 9 o'clock. I don't remember exactly what time we went over there, maybe 9 or 9:30.
And when you arrived at your brother's house, who, if anyone, was there?
To the best of my recollection, from what I remember, I was there. My wife was there. My brother Brian, Nicole, Brian Higgins was there. I believe Matt McCabe was there, and Jen McCabe was there.
When you came into the home, sort of where were they in relation?
Just sitting at the kitchen table.
And if you know, about how long did you stay at your brother's house when you came over?
Maybe an hour.
And where did you go from there?
Afterwards, just home.
Now, as far as subsequent to this, at some point within the days that followed, did you have occasion to speak with some troopers or members of the state police?
Yes, I did.
And how many troopers from the state police did you talk to when you spoke?
Two.
And where was that?
At my condo.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Okay. Cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, sir.
Mr. Albert, you and I have never met, correct?
I don't believe so.
You've testified that you've essentially lived in Canton your whole life, correct?
Correct.
Moved there when you were 4 years old?
Correct.
And the house to which you and your family moved was 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
You lived there for how long?
33 years.
And you currently own D&E Pizza in Canton?
Correct.
I believe you testified that you've owned it for approximately 25 years?
Correct.
Clearly, you have a lot of ties to the city of Canton. Would you agree?
Sure.
You live there?
Yes.
You work there?
Yes.
You have family there?
Yep.
You raised your kids there?
Yep.
And you also are a town selectman in the city of Canton.
Recently elected.
The town of Canton, I should say.
It's a town, correct.
And not only that, but your brother, Kevin Albert, is a police officer in Canton?
He is.
Your brother, Brian Albert, with whom you grew up, is currently retired, but had been a Boston police officer who lived in Canton, correct?
Correct.
You would agree with me that Brian Albert only moved from Canton after John O'Keefe was found dead on his front lawn, correct?
Can you rephrase that?
I'll phrase it the exact same way and ask for a yes or no if you can do that. You would agree with me that your brother Brian Albert only moved from Canton after John O'Keefe was found dead on his front lawn?
Objection.
Can you answer that? Can you answer that?
Yeah, I just don't understand the phrase, but he moved shortly after that, yes.
Your brother Tim Albert lives with your parents in Canton, correct?
Correct.
And Tim Albert and your parents live directly across the street from the Canton Police Department, correct?
Correct.
Do you know whom they bought that house from?
Objection.
The objection sustained.
But you still live in Canton?
Correct.
With your wife, Julie Albert?
Correct.
And your son, Colin Albert, correct?
Along with my other two sons, yes.
And you would agree that your entire family has deep roots in the town of Canton?
A guess.
You would agree with me that the Albert family is well known in the town of Canton?
We have a big family.
And you would agree with me that the Albert family is a powerful family in the town of Canton?
Objection.
Sustained.
As a town selectman, you have some power, do you not?
I'm one of five selectmen.
And as a police detective, Kevin Albert has some power, does he not?
Objection.
Sustained.
And you also have close friends on the Canton Police Department, do you not?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
I have some.
Now, you know that Massachusetts State Police Trooper Michael Proctor is the lead investigator on this case, correct?
I know that.
One of your wife's best friends is Michael Proctor's sister, Courtney Proctor, correct?
Objection.
Okay, that's sustained. You've got another witness you can ask that of, Mr. Iannetti.
You know Courtney Proctor, correct?
Objection.
Allowed.
Yes.
And you know her to be Michael Proctor's sister, correct?
That's correct.
You attended Michael Proctor's sister's wedding, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. May we approach?
Sure. Why don't you come on over?
I believe you testified, sir, that you've known Michael Proctor's sister for about 20 years?
Objection.
I don't think he said that, but we'll let that stand and then move on, please.
About 20 years? You testified?
Sure, if that's...
Didn't you testify to that on direct examination just moments ago when Mr. Lally was asking you questions?
Objection, Your Honor.
Next question, Mr. Iannetti. Objection sustained.
How long have you known Michael Proctor for?
I mean, I know he's Courtney's sister, brother. I couldn't tell you exactly how long I've known him for.
About 15 years or so?
Roughly.
All right. Who is Kenneth Berkowitz?
The former Canton police chief.
And how do you know him?
His son and my son are the same age, so they played on some sports teams when they were younger together. I think that's when I first came to know Ken.
You became friendly with him?
I became friendly with him, sure.
And how would you characterize your relationship with him?
Friends.
You've seen him socially?
Really.
You've been out for drinks with him?
I think maybe once.
And you've known him for how long?
20 plus years.
And you say you've only been out with him for drinks one time in those 20 years?
I can't even remember if it was with drinks one time. Yeah, no.
What other types of activities have you done together?
I can't think of any. I think he came to an event that I held one time. That's about it.
Have you been out with him in a group setting?
That event that I just mentioned, yeah.
And what event was that?
It was my campaign event when I was running for select board.
He was one of your supporters.
He came by.
Did he donate money to your campaign?
I think he did.
May we approach, Judge?
Yes.
Sir, I'm going to display a photograph with the court's permission on the screen, and I'd ask you to take a look at it, and if you can let the jury know.
Do you have a hard copy of it?
Yes, we do have a hard copy.
So why don't you show it to the witness and
happy
put it in
that.
Evidence?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. And we'll take that into evidence and then.
That makes sense. May I approach, Judge?
Yes.
Okay, sir, I've handed you a photograph. Do you recognize what that depicts?
Yes.
What does it depict?
Me and Kenny Berkowitz.
And is that a fair and accurate representation of you and Kenny Berkowitz?
You mean, is the picture us?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I would offer that, Your Honor.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, wait.
To the 55.
May that be published to the jury on the screen, Your Honor?
Sure.
So, Mr. Albert, that's obviously you on the right and Kenny Berkowitz on the left?
Correct.
Have you seen that photo before?
I believe I've seen it.
Do you recall when?
I believe that's my fundraiser for when I was running for the select board, that event that I spoke of earlier.
Okay. And when would it have been that you saw that photograph?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was on my Facebook page when I was running for select board. It looks familiar.
Has Mr. Lally shown you that photograph?
No.
Has he informed you that the defense would be introducing that photograph during this trial?
Nope.
You can take the photo down, Mr. Pace. And the lights can go on. You would agree with me that one of your functions as a selectman is to oversee public safety in the town?
Yes.
And you would agree that the police department is a key component of public safety in the town of Canton?
Yes.
So part of your duties as a town selectman is to oversee the Canton Police Department, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll let him have it. Is that one of your duties, sir?
I believe so. I'm new at that. I'm recently elected, so I'm just going through it. But yeah, I believe so.
And you became a town selectman shortly after Kenny Berkowitz retired, correct?
I'm not sure when Kenny retired.
But you would agree with me that Kenny Berkowitz has both personal and professional relationships with you and members of your family, correct?
Can you rephrase that?
You would agree with me that the former Canton Police Chief Kenny Berkowitz has both personal and professional relationships with you and members of your family.
Objection, Your Honor. It's the same question.
Go ahead and answer that question.
I'm not sure I agree with that question.
Well, your brother Kevin Albert worked under Chief Berkowitz, correct?
Correct.
Would you consider that to be a professional relationship?
With them two, yes.
And your brother, Brian Albert, attended Chief Berkowitz's retirement party, did he not?
I have no idea.
But your brother, Brian, is also a friend of Kenny Berkowitz, is he not?
He may be, not sure.
And as far as your ties to the Canton police, you would agree with me that Lieutenant Michael Lank is a member of the Canton Police Department, correct?
He is.
And you've been friends with him for years, correct?
I've known him for a long time.
You've been childhood friends with him since the age of 12, correct?
Somewhere around there, maybe earlier.
And you're tight with him?
I don't know if I'd call it tight.
He's not an enemy of yours, is he?
Oh, God, no.
No, he's a friend of yours, correct?
Sure.
And does sure mean yes?
Yes.
Now, your older brother, Brian, you've already testified, was a Boston police officer for years, correct?
Correct.
And he achieved some notoriety on a television show, did he not?
Objection.
Okay.
He was in the fugitive unit?
Correct.
And you know that your brother, Brian, was also a trained boxer, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Brian is a lot bigger guy than you are, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Your brother, Brian Albert, is someone who is close to his family, correct?
Yes.
And when I say his family, I'm talking about not just his wife and children, but also his extended family, correct?
Yes.
You were part of his family, obviously, correct?
Yes.
And your son Colin is part of his family, correct?
Yes.
The Albert family is close, correct?
Yes.
You all essentially grew up in Canton, correct?
Correct.
And you hung out with each other growing up, correct?
We were siblings, so...
Of course.
Yes.
You still hang out with each other quite often, correct?
Like all of us?
In various combinations.
We have different relationships with my siblings.
Sure. But you see some more than others, but you hang out with your family, do you not?
Yeah, mostly during holidays.
And you go out for drinks together, correct?
Occasionally.
And you're protective of each other, correct?
Like most families.
And if someone had a dispute with a member of the Albert family, Brian wouldn't be happy about that, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You know that Brian would stick up for your kids, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Your son Colin is particularly close to your brother Brian, is he not?
Objection.
I'll let him have that. Do you know?
Yes.
Your son Colin was a football player through high school, was he not?
Yes.
What was his number?
In high school?
Yes.
34, I believe.
And was that for 34 Fairview?
I don't think so.
Now, you testified you moved to Maple Street in Canton not long before January 28th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
And before that, you lived at 7 Meadows Ave in Canton?
Correct.
And that was when John O'Keefe was your neighbor, correct?
Correct.
I believe you testified he was a couple of houses away from you?
Yes.
And he was your neighbor for a series of years, was he not?
Yes.
While he was living in the neighborhood, you knew that he was working as a Boston police officer, correct?
Correct.
And you were familiar with him, correct?
What do you mean familiar?
You knew who he was. You know, you became familiar with
him. Yeah, he was my neighbor. I knew who he was.
Right. And you knew that he was not married, correct?
Yes.
And at a certain point, you knew that he was dating Karen Reed.
Yeah, at some point.
All right. Now, you would agree with me that your family has a police background, sir, correct?
I wouldn't agree with that statement.
Two of your brothers are or were police officers, correct?
Out of 7 of us, yes.
And you knew friends of your brothers who were also police officers or in law enforcement, correct?
Correct.
And you had already testified that you know some members of the Canton Police Department, correct?
Correct.
And you socialized with police officers, did you not?
Have I? Sure.
You've been to bars with police officers, correct?
Correct.
And you've drank with police officers, right?
Sure.
And we were friendly with police officers, correct?
Yes.
And with regard to, I'd like to ask you some questions about people specifically connected to this case. We've established that Lieutenant Lank has been a friend of yours for years, correct?
Yes.
We've established that you know former police chief Kenneth Berkowitz in such a way that you feel comfortable calling him before this jury Kenny Berkowitz, correct?
I know Kenny, yep.
Yeah. And he's actually donated to your campaign when you were running for town selectman, correct?
Correct.
And you also knew Michael Proctor prior to January 29th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
You've attended social events together with him, have you not?
Objection.
I'll let that one question.
Couple.
So, at some point, Michael Proctor came to question you, did he not?
Along with another trooper, correct.
And at the point in time when Michael Proctor came to question you, you knew who he was, correct?
Yes.
You knew him by face, correct?
Correct.
And you knew him by name, correct?
Correct.
There was no need for Michael Proctor to formally introduce himself to you, was there?
Objection.
Sustained.
What did he say when he first walked in the door in terms of introductions?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we be seen as sidebar, Judge?
Sure.
Without getting into the precise wording, you'd agree with me that there was no need for Michael Proctor to formally introduce himself to you for that meeting, correct?
Yes.
He didn't need to say, "How do you do? I am Michael Proctor," correct?
No.
No. Do you consider the Proctors to be the Albert second family?
Objection.
Do you consider that?
No.
You are aware that there are members of the Proctors family who have posted publicly that the
objection,
Alberts are
your
second family, correct?
So the objection is sustained, and I'm striking that question. Disregard.
Now, at the time that Trooper Michael Proctor showed up to question you, sir, you knew that Karen Reed had been charged in this case, correct?
Yes.
And you knew that John O'Keefe had been found dead on your brother's lawn, correct?
Correct.
Did it occur to you that it was odd that the state police sent somebody from the Proctor family to interview you?
Objection, Your Honor.
On February 10th of 2022?
Sustained.
All right. Now, you've testified that on January 28th of 2022, that day, that Friday that you were working, John O'Keefe stopped into D&E Pizza, your shop, correct?
Correct.
And there was discussion about whether you would be going out that night, and if so, where you would be, correct?
Correct.
Now, you've previously, on direct examination, characterized your relationship with him as being friends, correct?
Correct.
It's fair to say, however, that prior to January 28th of 2022, you had never exchanged personal information with John O'Keefe, correct?
You mean like phone numbers or... But
the cell number prior to that day?
No, I didn't.
And at that point in time, he had lived in your neighborhood for 4 to 5 years, correct?
Correct.
So I believe you've testified that that night after working, you went out around 10 minutes of 10 p.m.?
Roughly.
Before going out, did you have anything alcoholic to drink?
I think I may have had a beer at my pizza shop. I don't remember exactly.
So you have a refrigerator there that you can keep drinks cold, correct?
Among other things.
And you do have beers in that fridge?
Sometimes.
Personal use?
Sometimes.
Do you know how many beers that you would have had before going out?
No.
And would you have drank that beer as you were cleaning up at the end of the night?
Probably.
Did you have anything to eat at the pizza shop?
No.
When did you last eat before you went out at 9:50 or so?
When did I last eat?
Yes.
It's a long time ago. I'm not sure.
And you knew that your wife, Julie, was starting the night at C.F. McCarthy's, correct?
Yes.
And you couldn't meet her there because you were still working, right?
Correct.
But at some point you heard that Julie and others were headed to the waterfall, correct?
Yes.
And that was where you planned to go after you closed up D&E Pizza?
Correct.
With regard to the time that you left, 9:50 or so is your best estimate of when you're closing the doors and walking over to the waterfall?
Yes.
And the waterfall is a short walk to D&E Pizza?
Yes.
Maybe about 3 minutes?
About that.
And your plan was to walk there that night, correct?
Correct.
You had not taken a car to D&E Pizza anyway, right?
I don't believe so.
So what time did you get to the waterfall?
Shortly before 10. I don't know exactly.
All right. And yeah, I believe you've testified that John O'Keefe and Karen Reed were not there when you arrived, right?
Correct.
And the food that you ordered, do you remember what appetizers you would have gotten?
Probably like potato skins and some sort of chicken tenders. I would guess. It's 2 years ago, so I don't remember exactly.
All right. And did you order a drink along with the appetizers?
I believe so.
All right. And that would have been the Miller Lite that you talked about?
Correct.
Then not long after you got there, Brian Albert and Brian Higgins showed up, correct?
Correct.
And you had met Brian Higgins prior to that night?
Yes.
In fact, you had testified that you had seen him around quite a bit, correct?
A few times.
And you knew him, I believe your testimony was, from him working inside the Canton police station, correct?
I knew that he worked there.
Did you testify on direct examination, quote, I knew him from working inside Canton PD?
Yes.
And you've been inside Canton police, correct?
Maybe twice in my life.
You knew that Brian Albert, your brother, and Brian Higgins were friends, correct?
I knew they knew each other.
So are you saying that they were acquaintances?
No, I guess she's their friends.
You guess they're friends?
Yeah, they're friends.
Was there something confusing about my question the first time I asked it?
Objection, Your Honor.
In any case, would you agree that shortly before Brian Albert and Brian Higgins arrived at the waterfall, or shortly after they did, there was a couple I believe you called them a Greek couple because their last name is difficult to pronounce for everybody. But do you remember them being there?
Yes.
All right. If I mention the name Cole Akeithis, does that ring a bell?
That's them, yeah.
That's them, okay. And the whole group was either standing or sitting around a high-top table?
Correct.
And at 9:45 p.m., you texted John O'Keefe while you were at the waterfall, correct?
Correct.
Would you agree with me that the language of your text was, quote, get over here or I'll fuck up your lawn, end quote?
That was one of the texts.
Let me just have a moment. Thank you. May I approach?
Sure.
Do we have, let's say, is there an evidence number, please?
No, it needs to be marked.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't think I asked to approach.
Go, that's fine.
Thank you. I've placed a document before you, sir. Take a look at that and tell the jury whether or not you recognize it.
Yeah, I recognize it.
What is it?
It's a text message, two text messages.
Okay. And who are the participants in that text message exchange?
Me and John.
And what is it that you said and at what time?
So the first one...
approach.
Okay. Come on over. As I did yesterday. So before you consider any electronic communication in your deliberations, you must first find that it's more likely true than not true that the person who either authored or sent or created or transmitted the communication was in fact John O'Keefe and this witness, Chris Albert. If you do not find that it's more likely true than not that John O'Keefe sent one or that this witness was the person who sent the message or transmitted it, then you may not consider it in deciding this case. So you have clarification a bit, Mr. Iannetti, at this point?
I do, yes. And just for the record and for the juror's edification, this is part of Exhibit 48, which is already in evidence. But I would ask that this particular exchange be posted on the screen with the court's
permission. Sure.
Okay. And so you'd agree that the, when you say it was two text messages, they're both with regard to the same subject, correct?
What do you mean? I don't follow you.
It says get over here, right? And then the second is a continuation of that. If not, I'm going to fuck up your lawn, correct?
So you mean that's to tell him to come over to the waterfall?
Right.
Didn't understand what you meant.
That's fine. So you're telling John O'Keefe this, correct?
Yeah, I'm telling him to come over and meet us.
All right. And that little emoji, that face emoji after, if not, I'm going to fuck up your lawn, that's...
Yeah, it's a laughing face.
Right, so you're...
It's a joke.
And you're cracking up.
Yeah, it's a joke.
One at a time.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Apologize.
Okay. Well, we can take that down. At about 10:45 p.m. or so, I believe, you testified that that was when John O'Keefe walked into the bar with his girlfriend, Karen Reed.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Would you agree with me that between the time you arrived and the time you eventually left, that you did go up to the bar within that establishment a few times?
I'm sure I did.
And bought a few rounds of drinks?
I'm sure.
Including that one round of fireball shots?
Correct.
What was the state of your sobriety when John and Karen arrived?
Probably fine.
All right. You didn't feel like intoxicated?
No.
Or unable to, perceive what's going on? You were still in control of your faculties?
Yes.
And is it true that after John and Karen arrived that your wife, Julie, didn't want to stay any longer or too much longer?
She didn't want to. She had a headache, so she wanted to go home.
Right. And by that point in time, you had been there about an hour, maybe a little less.
When Karen and John arrived?
Right.
Yeah, about an hour.
All right, and you were having fun.
Sure.
And so Julie drove home, but you stayed, correct?
Correct.
All right. And in terms of Karen Reed's drinking, as far as you could see, she had that glass that she came in with that appeared to have a clear liquid in it, correct?
Correct.
And I believe you said either a lime or a lemon?
Thought I said a lime, but yep.
Okay. And you assumed that that was, you know, vodka and soda water or vodka in some type of mixer, correct? That was clear?
Correct.
And if she was, while drinking that night, if she was mixing in water in between alcoholic drinks, it would have been impossible for you to discern which drinks were water and which drinks were vodka, correct?
Yeah, I would have no idea.
You can't tell that by eyeballing a drink, right?
No.
Because both liquids are clear.
Yes.
And yeah. In order to discern that, you'd actually have to be given a sip to see, right? Okay. But in any case, Karen does not appear to be under the influence of alcohol to you.
I didn't notice anything.
She wasn't stumbling, correct?
Nope.
She wasn't swaying?
I didn't notice.
She didn't appear to be unbalanced, correct?
I didn't notice anything.
She wasn't slurring her words?
Nope.
She wasn't talking gibberish, correct?
No.
She was engaging in normal conversation and she appeared to be under control?
Yeah.
And would you agree with me that she also appeared to be affectionate with John O'Keefe?
I wasn't really watching their interactions too much, to be honest.
But in any case, you never saw any arguing between the two of them.
I wasn't really paying attention to their
and you
interactions.
You didn't perceive any tension between them, correct?
I didn't notice anything irregular.
Okay. And from your observations of Karen Reed that night, and you were there probably over 2 hours, were you not?
Total, about that, yeah.
Yeah. From your observations of Karen that night, you would have had no problem with her driving a car, correct?
I wouldn't even have thought about it.
Okay. Now, would you agree with me that of the group that you had met out, that you were the last person to leave the waterfall on January 29th of 2022?
I believe so.
Now, you previously, well, you testified on direct examination today, I believe, that you thought you got home between 12:05 and 12:10 a.m. on January 29th, correct?
It's what I remember.
If I suggested to you that you didn't even leave the bar until 12:13 a.m., would you quarrel with that?
Would I quarrel with it?
Yes.
No, I guess not. I mean...
All right. And is your memory exhausted as to the precise time that you left the bar?
Is it exhausted?
Right. In other words, do you not remember the precise time that you left the bar that early morning?
It's over 2 years ago. I don't know the precise time.
Right.
That's why I said between 12:05 and 12:10.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you. Could we have Exhibit 50? Well, with the court's permission, can I publish Exhibit 53? It's a short clip from the waterfall.
Sure.
Yeah.
If we could pause it for a second, please. Ms. Ralph, you would agree with me this was clearly the end of the night?
Sure.
The lights are all on at this point?
Yes.
The bar appears to have largely emptied out?
Yes.
Okay, continue, please. Pause it. Oh, there we go. My co-counsel is much better at this than I am. Do you know who that person is who's leaving the bar at this point at 12:13 and 43 a.m.?
Christine, it might be better without that spotlight.
Okay.
You see it now?
Yeah. I believe it's me.
Continue, please. Okay. You can take that off the screen. So, having now viewed that video with the timestamp of 12:13 and about 43 seconds or so, does that refresh your memory as to when you left the waterfall?
Yes.
That would mean it would have been impossible for you to get home to Maple Street by 12:05 or 12:10, correct?
Correct.
Now, it was about maybe a 7-minute walk home. Would you agree with me?
From Waterfall to Maple? No, I said 7 minutes from D&E to Waterfall. Waterfall to Maple is probably less than 5 minutes.
So it's your testimony that D&E is closer to the waterfall than the waterfall is to Maple Street?
D&E's farther away from Waterfall than farther away from where I live than Waterfall is.
I understand.
Oh, I don't follow you. I'm sorry.
I'll try to clarify. I don't mean to be confusing here.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm not asking about the distance between D&E and your home.
Hmm.
I'm trying to compare or ask you to compare the distance between D&E and the waterfall and then the waterfall and your home. Do you see the difference?
Hmm. I think so.
Would you agree with me that your home is farther from the waterfall than D&E Pizza is from the waterfall?
I don't follow you, I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's take it step by step. D&E Pizza to the waterfall, are they on the same street?
Yes.
How many establishments, if you know, are between D&E Pizza and the waterfall?
Just a few.
Okay, so it's a very short walk from D&E Pizza to the waterfall,
yes.
Correct? Your home on Maple Street is not on the same street as the waterfall, correct?
It's off of the same street.
But it's not on the same street.
No.
And your home on Maple Street is farther from the waterfall than D&E Pizza is to the waterfall. Is
correct, correct.
Okay.
I didn't understand it earlier.
No, I know, and I'm trying to work through this because, I'm not trying to trick you here. I just want to get the answer. You would agree with me that it would take you longer to walk home from the waterfall than it would take you to walk to the waterfall from D&E Pizza?
Correct.
All right. And I believe you said that one walk was 7 minutes and one walk was maybe less than 5 minutes, correct?
Yes.
All right. The 7-minute walk would have been the walk home as opposed to the walk to the waterfall, correct?
Yes.
All right. So, you have agreed that you left the bar at 12:13, almost 12:14, according to the video, and it would have taken you about 7 minutes to walk home, correct?
Not exactly sure how.
Can I see Counselor Tabor for just a second, please?
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.